or from our spiritual life. I'm working on a sermon. I've been working on it for a while, and I worked on it some more last week, and I don't have it quite finished. But it's called One Life Too Many. And most Christians have one life too many. And I'm really praying about whether to preach it or not. Because as soon as I decide whether I want to be the pastor here or not, I'm going to... but this morning I want to talk to you about blessed. And I want to bring you a little message entitled, Blessed by God. And I want to talk about the kind of blessings that are really important. Far, far more important than did God give you a good job. And God knows that's an important thing. We need a good job, amen? We need that money. The things I want to talk about this morning are far more important than any temporal situation or possession that you can possibly think of. These really are the blessings that are the foundation for all other blessings. And so I want to talk to you this morning about some spiritual blessings. It said in Ephesians 1:3, "Have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Now, if you're here this morning and God's been good and you've got a good marriage, a good husband, or a good wife, thank God for it. If you've got some good children that love the Lord, thank God for it. If God's blessed you materially and you've got a roof over your head and a dollar in the bank and grits on the table, thank God for it. But all those things will fail in time of real stress and real need. When real life-changing events, when things really get bad, those are not the things we think about. That's when we finally get close to God. And I think that's when we finally realize that God's blessed us with some things other than the tangible and the material. So I have 12 things that I want to talk to you about this morning, if you'll give me just a little bit of time. And some of these will take longer than others, and I'll just brush over some. And I do that so that I can come back in 6 months and preach this message again and preach the ones that I skipped over. See? Method to my madness. Now, the first thing is this. I'm blessed, and if you're saved, you are too, whether you realize it or not. I'm blessed with God's salvation. The Bible said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Acts 28, 28, I'm sorry. The salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. They will hear it. Now, I'm blessed with God's salvation because God saw fit to work out a plan that not only included His people, His chosen people, Israel, but that could be extended to all the Gentile nations around the world. Which meant that I got an offer that I didn't have to get. God extended the program. God broadened His horizons and then reached out to the entire world and offered a salvation that was engineered by God and paid for by God and offered by God and sustained by God to every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever lived. And all you had to do was accept His invitation. And boy, I'm here to tell you, that's a blessing. Why, the plan of salvation was God's plan. There's not a man lived in history smart enough to thought a plan like that. I guarantee you, buddy, who in the world thought of doing it the way God did it? I wouldn't have thought of that, and I'm a pretty smart feller. Amen? Lewis wouldn't have figured that out, and he's a pretty smart fella too. I've read all kinds of theologians. Nobody would ever figure that out. Who in the world would have done it the way God did it? That's miraculous, marvelous. God just shows God doesn't reason like we reason. He doesn't see like we see. Not only was it God's plan, it was God's provision. He knew we were bankrupt, knew we couldn't handle it, knew we couldn't pay the price. And so God made the provision for our salvation Himself. Amen. He worked out the plans, hammered out the details, looked at the cost, said they can't pay it. I've got a big bank account. I'll write the check. And God paid the bill for our salvation. It's God's redemption. I was lost, sold out to the devil, And God redeemed me with the blood of the Lamb. He made the provision, His only begotten Son, worked out a plan whereby I could be given the righteousness of Jesus Christ and my sin be paid for by the blood of the Lamb. That's quite a plan. That's quite a provision. And that's an awesome redemption. And so I'm blessed today to have God's salvation. I like what Jonah said. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. It's not of the Baptist church. And so I don't have to worry about the board of trustees changing the program. Amen. Number two, not only am I blessed with God's salvation, I'm blessed with an unchanging book. Amen. Now, the more you stop and think about that, the greater blessing that will become. Everything in this life, and I mean everything, it's an axiomatic statement, everything in this life is subject to change. All of your science is subject to change. I remember a few years ago they were saying, don't sit too close to the television set. You're going to get radiation poisoning and die. You're going to get brain tumors because the TV gives off radiation. Well, and then some guy did a little research to substantiate their claims, and what they found out was you would have to sit in front of a cheap TV set without filters and without guard. Put your face against the screen, and if you sat there somewhere between 300 and 500 years, there was a 50-50 chance you would get a tumor caused by radiation. And so they changed their science and passed on. Then they said salt kills you. Don't eat salt. And then they found out if you don't eat salt, you die. Amen. They said, well, salt causes high blood pressure. No, it doesn't. Never has. Now, if you've got high blood pressure, salt can mess it up, but it ain't what causes it. They're constantly revising their science. We used to have the Big Bang Theory in science, right? Everything blew up, and everything cooled off, and then everything came out of nothing. That's a pretty cool idea. And then they changed their protocols for how it all happened. And they've changed the theory on how everything that is here got here half a dozen times. They've revised how old the universe is. They started out in the early 1900s, it was just a few million. Then it had to be a billion or two. Then it was 4.5 billion. I've got a big expose in one of my doomsday books at home that shows the universe exploding 4.5 billion years ago. And now they're saying some of the light from the distant galaxies has been en route 12 to 15 billion. They don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Amen. Everything in this world changes. I'm going to give you something that doesn't change. The Word of God does not change. Why? The Bible said, for it is settled forever in heaven. You say, why is that a blessing? Because the program that I'm on today will be the program I'm supposed to be on tomorrow. Amen. It will not shift with every wind. It will not shift with the shifting sand. If I get God's book and I follow that book will be the same today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And God's plan of salvation and God's way of living. People say, oh, we don't live that way. We don't do that anymore. We don't dress like that anymore. Times have changed. They may have, but the book did not. Amen. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. I'm thankful that I have an unchanging book. That thing's settled. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, I like a certain amount of stability in my life. I like to go to work at the same time, get off the same time, come back to the same house to the same woman. Amen? And so I've been with the same company over here now 21 years, and I've been married to the same woman 43. Amen? I started preaching over 30 years ago, and I'm still at it. I like stability. I like a rut. Somebody one time said a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. Well, it may be, but it's a comfortable place to be. Amen? There's a certain security and steadfastness and comfort in routine. And I like it. And I like for my life to be stable. I like to know who I can count on. I like to know that certain things are going to occur at certain time and in a certain way. And buddy, when it comes to eternal things and where I'm going to spend eternity, whether I'm going to heaven or hell and how God's going to accept me and whether what I do pleases God or not, I want that thing fixed and settled. I want it to be the same today as it is tomorrow. I used to work for a fella, and you have to go in and find out what kind of mood he was in. Amen. If he's in a good mood, you can do anything and get away with it. If he's in a bad mood, you couldn't even breathe. And today he might be friends with me and cut me all kind of slack. And tomorrow he'd be friends with somebody else and cut him all kind of slack and give me all the dirt. I don't like that. I don't like that. Amen. And so I'm glad that God gave me a book that does not change. The rules don't change. The expectations don't change. The rewards don't change. The punishment doesn't change. That's an unchanging book. And I like that. And I'm thankful to God for it. I've been blessed with perpetual security. I said perpetual because if you say eternal, people say, oh, I don't believe in eternal security. Well, I don't either. I believe in perpetual. I had a fella come visit with us here a year or two ago. And after church one night, he came on a Sunday night. And he stood back there and took issue with my message. Never been here before. Never seen him before. Kid been saved about 3 or 4 months. And he took me to task right back at the back door. He said, you said eternal in one place and everlasting in the other. And the Bible said eternal over here and it said eternal over there. It didn't say eternal over here and everlasting over there. I said, okay. I mean, this guy was really up in arms about it. I said, is everlasting eternal? Yes. I said, is eternal everlasting? Yes. I said, it's a synonym then, right? No, it's spelled different. I said, okay. Whatever floats your boat, cowboy. Idiot. Where was I at? So I have perpetual security. I was preaching out at the prison Thursday night, and I took questions and answers, and this one guy said, does the Bible teach once saved, always saved? I don't know why people take such offense at that term. You know? But what it is, they think if you say once saved, always saved, that means you can live like the devil and still go to heaven. Amen. Well, I spent most of my time on my answer on that part of it. I just gave them a couple of verses and a little illustration on if you're saved, you're saved. And I spent the rest of the time on if you're saved, you don't live like it, God'll beat the hell out of you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I said, people have that attitude. Well, if I believe that, I could do this, that, and the other. I said, that's the thought life of an unsaved man. That's a person who is unregenerate. I said, the reason I don't do those things is because the love of Christ constraineth me. I don't do those things because I don't want to. Amen. Amen. That's the talk of a saved man. It's a big difference. Anyway, God gave me perpetual security. In John 10:28, the Bible said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, you can read the verses before and the verses after John 10:28, and to get the context, and you cannot find an exclusion or an escape clause in that passage of Scripture anywhere. No place in there is it said, nor is it indicated, nor is it implied that if I get eternal life and do this, this, or this, my eternal life is terminated. You got that? That thing said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now, if you can find an exception clause in there, if you can find an exclusion, if you can find a way out, I'd like to see it. We who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now, if God gave it and God doing the keeping. Amen. Amen. There is no way out of that. Well, if I believe that, I know. If you believe that, you'd be out drinking liquor tonight. That's because you're an unsaved reprobate. Amen. Amen. When I got saved, I learned to hate sin. I'm glad that I have perpetual security. That's a blessing from God. See, why is that a blessing? I ain't got to worry about losing it, man. I'm telling you what. When I was a little boy, you know when you're youngins, you do funny things. And there's some interesting lessons you can learn from life. You ever watch little youngins? But when you're little, you know, the little girl behind you with the freckles on her face and a big one right on the end of her nose and little glasses, I thought she was cute. That's just the only one that would look at me. And so I wrote her a little note on a little piece of paper and said, I love you. Do you love me? If yes, you know, if you do, write check yes. If not, check no. And you put a little blank space out there and you fold up and you sneak it to them. And then a few minutes later, somebody taps you on the back and they hand it back and you open it up. Yes. I said, yes! Excuse me. A terrible head cold. I'm all propped up on whatever that stuff is I'm taking. Alka-Seltzer Plus. What was I talking about? I've forgotten. I was having a good time, though. Yeah, but what did I lead into that with? Y'all know? Yeah, I know that. Oh, I know what it was. I wrote her a note today, and she checked yes. And so tomorrow, I wrote her the same note because I want to make sure I was still loved. And I don't know if she was in love with somebody else or if I'd done something to offend her, but I got the note back and my world crumbled. It said, no. I love you. I don't love you. Picking them daisies. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Man, that drives you crazy. Amen. You never know where you stand. You never know. You know, you can't ever relax. You're always uptight inside, wondering, am I in or am I out? Am I loved or am I not loved? Am I blessed or am I not blessed? I don't have to worry about that with God. He gave it to me, and it is mine once and for all, forever. And I can go to sleep tonight, and what I have to worry about is God going to change his mind in the middle of the night. I can drive down the road. I can go to work tomorrow. I can look at ugly people and think bad things and not have to worry about whether I'm going to hell or not. Not only that, number four, I'm blessed with a comforter. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And 14:26 said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I got a comforter. Amen. I know the older I get, the more comforting I need. I think I get more thin-skinned as I get old. I get my feelings hurt more. But don't y'all say a word. Y'all will too. That's just the way us old folks are. Amen. Young folks are tough and brash and bold, and we blow stuff off, you know. The older you get, your skin gets thin. And so do your feelings. Things that used to didn't bother you now keep you up all night. Amen. That's why over in Ecclesiastes 12, that old man can't get no sleep. He's bothered about nothing. Amen. But sometimes I get my feelings hurt and I need comfort. And I come to my wife and I want to pour out my heart and let her listen to my complaint. And she's not a good comforter. She'll say, well, if you hadn't done so-and-so. And I think, just one time take my side. Just one time. She said, if one time you'd be right. We all need comforting from time to time. I mean, life wears on us. People hurt our feelings. And we want somebody to console us and tell us we were right and we did the right thing and it's going to be okay. We need somebody to comfort us. Amen? But you know there's some things nobody in the world can comfort you. They can't do it. I'm not saying they don't try. I'm not saying they don't mean to. I'm not saying they don't want to. I'm sure they do. There's a level at which human people cannot comfort the inner man. But then God said he'd be there to comfort. And buddy, I'm telling you, when those things come down the pike that overwhelm you and you can't deal with and they scare you to death and all that, the only place you can find comfort in those kind of storms is from God. But I have the comforter right here. He's with me all the time. Amen. I'm glad that there's somebody there when the winds blow the wrong way and the storm is overwhelming. There is somebody there to comfort me in the midst of the storm. Not only am I blessed with a comforter, though, I'm blessed with an intercessor. Romans 8:26. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Now, so you know them tongues talkers, all them crazy maddox are nuts. All that gibberish they do. Shantai, Antai, Botai, you know, Eperabjunim and all that stuff. That's not a God. Say, why? Because those groanings down there can't be uttered. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. So that's just a bunch of nonsense. So we don't pay them any attention. We class them as Christian entertainment. Amen. But my intercessor is there. He dwells inside me. You say, why do you need one? You ever get to a point where you just don't know how to say what you want to say? You tell somebody, said, I don't have the words to tell you how I feel. I can't express what goes on in my heart, the emotion that I feel. I would just give anything. I've thought this a million times. I wish I could convey to my wife what knowing her and living with her does for my heart. I wish she could know how I feel about her. And I've tried, and I can be pretty verbose sometimes. My vocabulary, while somewhat limited, is more extensive than a lot. But I cannot find the words to describe how I feel inside. I'm looking forward to the day when those barriers of the flesh are moved out of the way and she can see how I really felt about her all those years. Sometimes I need to talk to God. And I'm limited by my mind, I'm limited by my vocabulary. And I've got this emotion built up. I've got this feeling inside. And I don't know how to get it out. I can't give it to God like I feel it. The Holy Spirit steps in and makes intercession. He knows how to talk to God. He knows how to tell God what I'm experiencing and what I feel. Do you know why the burden goes away sometime in prayer? You ever pray about something and you're all wrapped up in it and it's a weight, it's a burden on your heart, and you pray about it and it feels, you say, well, the burden's gone. That's because the Holy Spirit explained that thing to God and now you're understood. And that emotion, that feeling you had about not being able to communicate is rolled away because you have communicated. The Holy Spirit made God understand how you feel. It takes that frustration out of it. That's a blessing. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, buddy. Not only do I have an intercessor, I'm blessed by God with companionship. Hebrews 13:5 said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:20 said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm never alone. Remember that song they sang? Never alone, no, never alone. That's me. I got somebody with me wherever I go. I was in a place here not long ago, and there was a young fella there, and for some reason we turned out the lights. And this kid was scared to death. I said, what are you afraid of? I said, there's nothing in here now that wasn't in here 2 seconds ago. So I'm terrified in the dark. He said, you don't know what's... He said, I just feel alone in the dark. I thought, oh, that's why it don't bother me. I'm never alone. Amen. I got Jesus by my side. He said, oh, preacher, that's just spiritual talk. No, sir, not to me it ain't. If it is, I must look like it. I talk to him all the time. If I lose something, I say, Lord, would you look for that? And he'll say right here, oh, there it is. I got it. Amen. I've caught him talking back here lately, so. I have a companion. Now, you know, you don't hear about people traveling with their companion much anymore. And if you do, it's kind of an off-color thing. But years and years ago, people of means always had a companion. And it was usually somebody, a butler or a maid or somebody that looked after them and took care of them. But they always traveled with their companion. And if they were on the ship or on the stagecoach or whatever it was, they traveled with their companion. When they get to a motel or wherever it was, they would get separate quarters for the companion. And so a companion was somebody to talk to you and look out for you, but not necessarily your friend or a loved one. It didn't necessarily have to be a member of the family. It didn't have to necessarily be your friend. It could just be a hired servant that was hired to be your companion as you travel. Amen? But there was always somebody with you. You were never alone. And so, I kind of wanted to run these two points together. I have permanent companionship. The Lord is with me all the time. And so, if you're saved, you're blessed with a companion. But on top of that, you're blessed this way. I'm blessed with a friend. The Bible said in John 15, 13 and 15, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Verse 15 said, I have called you my friend. Amen? Now, my companion is also my friend. Now, that's a wonderful thing. To be able to travel and have as a companion your friends. Several years ago, my wife and I had our 40th anniversary. Was it our 40th? And we went on a little cruise. And fellas, y'all take your wife on a cruise. It's romantic. I don't know what's in that salt air, but it messes them women up. You've got to take them. I'm here to tell you. It's worth every dime you'll ever spend. Somebody say glory to God right there. Anyway, we're on the cruise. And so I have my wife. So I have my companion with me. But she's also my best friend. Amen. And when we go away, we have a time. We always hate for it to be over. I spoil her, she spoils me, we spoil each other, and we come home rotten. Amen? But man, is it fun! It is wonderful to be able to travel down life's road and have a companion at your side, especially if that companion is your best friend. Amen? Now listen, I'm going down life's road trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have Him as my companion. But He is also my friend. Amen. And buddy, I can talk to him like a friend. I can enjoy his company like a friend. Now, Samantha lives right in front of us, and we get to see her a right good bit, and I'm thankful for that most of the time. And and she talks to us. She talks to her mother a lot more than she does me. I guess her mother is more likable than I am. But she talks to her mother more. But we get to see her. We get to talk to her, right? We love her, she loves us, and we have a basically good relationship, except for just fleeting moments. But sometimes she wants to talk to somebody besides mom and daddy. I don't know why. I think we're pretty conversant about most things, intelligent, rational. I don't know why she needs to, but she... immature, and she gets these urges to want to talk to somebody beside mom and daddy. She wants to talk to a friend. I said, well, why? Why do you want to talk to somebody? You say anything to me. We don't have to see you talk about anything. Well, daddy, there's just some things you can talk to a friend about or a woman about that you can't talk to daddy about. Now, I'm making light of that, but I understand exactly what she's saying. I had the same problem with my dad. Nobody could talk to him. Sometimes you need a friend. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm here to tell you, when life gets tough, and sometimes it does, when life gets tedious, as they say down south, and sometimes it does, when things just get to where they're playing on your nerves and you're about to be overwhelmed and you can't stand up to it much more, and you say, I just need to talk to a friend. I need somebody with a sympathetic ear that will listen but be honest and fair. I just need to talk to somebody. That's God. You need to talk to Him. He's your friend and He will listen. Now, He may be more truthful than you're used to, but He'll listen. Amen. I'm blessed with a friend. Not only that, I'm blessed with daily grace. They say, well, there's saving grace and dying grace. Well, I believe in both of them. I've experienced saving grace. And I know that down the road, God will give me dying grace. See, dying terrifies you until it's time to die, and then God gives you the grace to handle it. Amen. It's like old Bob Gray up there in that airplane that's having a terrible storm, and everybody was screaming and crying and praying and all that, and he thought he was going to die, and he was down praying, you know, and begging God and confessing all of his sins, and he was scared to death. And he said, Lord, he said, I've always believed and I've always taught that when it come time to die, you give dying grace. He said, and a still small voice said, I do. Then it dawned on Dr. Gray, wasn't his time to die. That's why he was scared. Amen. God does give dying grace. So there's saving grace and there's dying grace. But what about that long stretch in between point A and point B? God gives grace for every mile. God gives grace for every trial. New grace. Grace that's never been needed before. God gives daily grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's old Apostle Paul whining and crying about that thorn in his flesh. See, he was as human as you and I. He wanted to be whole. He wanted to be pain-free. He wanted all of his faculties to work like they should. He didn't want to have to suffer some of the things that we suffer in his life. And so he said, I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it again. And the third time, God said, my grace is sufficient. Meaning, I'm not going to take it away. Meaning, you got to live with it. Meaning, shut up. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you the problem. You got it, and it's not going away. However, I will give you the grace to bear it. I'll give you the grace to live with it. You know how sometimes we get through some things, we say, I just don't know if I could do that or not. God puts on you what you can handle, and whatever it is God puts on you, God gives you the grace to get through it. That's why in times of trouble, you need to lean on Him. You don't have the strength. You don't have the grace. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty close to graceless. And if it wasn't for God's grace, I don't think we could handle much at all. But God's grace is sufficient. It's like, what was that old preacher? Started a Nazarene church, Uncle Bud Robinson. Uncle Bud Robinson got wounded and it got infected. And it started turning to gangrene. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, we need to amputate. And he said, no, you're not going to cut my leg off. He said, but we've got to go in there. If we don't, he said, we've got to go in there and strip all that back and clean all that pus and corruption out and scrape the muscles and all that and pack it. And we have to come back in a day or two and do it again. And he said, that's what I want you to do. And he said, okay, then we'll give you this shot. We'll knock you out. He said, nope. The Bible said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said, I want to do it and I don't want any painkiller. The doctor said, you're crazy. Uncle Bud said, God said He'd give me the grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. The doctor said, you're out of your mind. He said, are you going to do it or not? He said, that's what you want. And so for 6 weeks, every other day, he would come in and that doctor would take the bandages off and go in there and scrape and clean out the corruption and medicate it and wrap it and all that. And slowly but surely it got bad. But every other day when old Bud come in there, he would grit his teeth and cry and tears would run down his face. And boy, I mean, he went through hell on earth. He got through it though. God gave grace. A couple years later, He was working, if I remember the story right, up there at the, what's that big house in the mountains? Biltmore House. He was working up there part-time. And he got a big piece of wood or something shoved up in his arm. And he got infected. And he went to the doctor, same doctor. And the doctor said, okay, bud. He said, the same routine? He said, nope. He said, you give me Novocaine this time. He said, why changed your mind? He said, I just wanted to prove God keep His word. He did, and I... Once was enough, amen. God will give you the grace. God will be there. God meant what He said. My grace is sufficient. And I'm thankful unto God that I'm blessed with God's grace. Not only that, I'm blessed with God's peace. In Psalm 5, verse 11, the Bible said, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Nehemiah 8:10 said, for the joy of the Lord is thy strength. You know something? I got peace written down. That's why that's joy. Scribal error. I have peace of God that point and peace of God for the next point. It's the joy of the Lord. Anyway, I have the joy of the Lord. People say, well, you don't have anything to be joyful about. You know, this is going on and that's happening and you don't have this and you got this problem. You know, the joy of the Lord is not dependent on what I have in this life. It's not dependent on my circumstance or my situation or what I own or don't own. I can have joy in the Lord with things or without things, in good times and in bad times. The joy of the Lord is a constant. You have to learn to joy in the Lord. Listen, when the worse things get, the greater joy I have in the Lord. He's the one that gives sustaining grace. He's the one that keeps. He's the one that has the power to deliver. And if the worst comes and I pass out of this world or the tragedy comes and wipes me out, God is the one who will keep me. God is the one who will deliver. God is the one who will take me home to glory. I joy in the Lord. I joy in His salvation. I joy in His steadfastness. I joy in His forgiveness. I joy in His mercy. I joy in His long-suffering. I'm here to tell you, buddy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You lose your joy in the Lord, you'll give up on this old world. The fight will overwhelm you. Nehemiah 8:10 said, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Trusting in Him, relying on Him, that's what gets you through when nothing else will. Then I am blessed by God with the peace of God. John 14:27, "Peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, so give I." You say, what is the peace of God? What is the peace of God in a life filled with turmoil? What is the peace of God when the life you live is full of ups and downs and sorrows and heartaches and heartbreak? Why, the peace of God is another one of those constants. You see, no matter what's going on out here, no matter what fills my life, my relationship with God, my destiny in God is never affected. My salvation is never in question. My future is never in question. The fact that I will eventually overcome, that I will be triumphant, is never in doubt. And so in God I have a peace, a settled peace, about the outcome, about the victory, about the destination. Now, I do have ups and downs in this life, and sometimes they're horrendous, sometimes they're almost catastrophic. But it never shakes, it never moves that peace that I have in God about our relationship and my future. Amen. That peace stays constant. And it's a great blessing when I think I'm being overwhelmed here or destroyed here to know that no matter what happens here, the final outcome is fixed in Christ Jesus. Not only do I have joy with God, I have the peace of God. I'm blessed with this. I'm blessed with an assured destination. John 14:1-3, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." God's going to fix a place. It's a blessing to know that I have a fixed destination. I am going home to glory. Priscilla Magruder, who sang with the Magruders, and thank goodness they're about out of business. She got the strangest voice you ever heard in your life. She's an ugly, ugly woman. And she's just really hard to look at. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you the truth. This woman, she's hard to look at. And she's got the strangest voice you ever. She sounds like a man that's been smoking cigarettes about 30 years. Just real gravelly. But boy, the Lord blessed her with some songs that just reach down and grab your heart, which I never listened to those kind. The one I liked was the one she sang, "Going Home with Jesus." Matter of fact, she sang that so good, somebody else wrote another song about her, and in the second song, there's a line in there about she's singing about going home with Jesus, and she looked like she meant it so much, she looks like she was leaving. So it's two good songs. Anyway, she sang that song, Going Home with Jesus. I like that song. I had my wife send off and get me a copy because I liked it. And it's the only song on there that I don't think I ever listened to the whole CD because I only like that one song. Because I don't really like the Magruders. But boy, I mean, they just did that thing about going home with Jesus just touched me. You know why? I want to go home with Jesus. I want to go home with Jesus. I want to go home and spend eternity on the streets of gold. I want to go and spend eternity under the tree of life. I want to see the cherubim and the seraphim. I want to see the angels. I want to see the archangels. I want to count and see how many there is and see if I'm right about all that stuff I teach. Amen? Wouldn't it be sad, you know, I teach some of that stuff. You know, I teach that stuff on the whirlwind. That's pretty deep stuff. And I got that thing on Bodies of Gold. I don't know if you ever listened to it, but that's pretty deep stuff. I get home to glory and I'm going to say, Lord, what do you think about that stuff? He's going to say, you're a joke, boy. I mean, you're a real joke. Well, my feelings are going to be hurt. Say, well, I want to go home to glory. I want to see the streets of gold. I want to see Him face to face. I want to see the mansion. I want to walk up and down the streets. I want to put my feet in the river of life. I've always wondered what kind of fish is in that stream. I have an assured destination. People say, well, I hope. Listen, I know. Amen. I'm going home to glory. And then let me close with this. See how I cut some of that stuff off there, boy? Just like a surgeon. I'm blessed with an ordained destiny. See, what's that? Romans 8:29. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. 1 John 3:2. Then we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know what my end is? My end is to be like Jesus Christ. And some of y'all look and say, boy, there's a long way to go there. I was thinking the same thing about you. But our end in Christ is to be conformed to His image. The Father loves the Son. The Father is going to love us because we will be like the Son. All these imperfections, all these shortcomings, all the failures that you now possess will be a thing of the past. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll have a body like unto His glorious body. We'll be in His very image. Now, Jim Ballard asked Dr. Ruttman one time. Dr. Ruttman was talking about being in His image and talking about no women in heaven and all that stuff, you know. And Jim Ballard raised his hand and said, Doc, he said, do we all have the scars on our hand? That's a great question, isn't it? Do we? I'll let you figure that out yourself. But we'll be like Christ. We'll have His mind and His spirit, His love, His compassion, His forgiveness. Won't it be a wonderful thing to be like Christ? I have an assured destiny. I will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ the righteous, the only begotten of the Father. Now, I don't know where you're headed. I don't know if you're saved or not. If you're saved, you're blessed with all those things. And if you're not saved, you have none of those blessings. You don't have the peace of God. You don't have the joy of God. You don't have an assured destiny. You don't have perpetual security. You have nothing. You're dead in trespasses and lost without God and without hope. Trust Christ and all of that is yours. When He said, I give unto them eternal life. You have to look and see what all's included in what He gave. Gave it all. Gave it all. And you can have it. If you're here this morning and you're not saved by God's grace, you may be in a church, you may be religious, you may have made a profession of faith, but you're not a new creature and you have no assurance and you have no peace. What you need to do today is come and receive Jesus Christ and be born again. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your goodness.